today as we come to the table.
God didn't allow this. God did it. Now, what is my point in that? I know we all say this, and oftentimes it's true. We'll say, you know what? God allowed that to happen in my life, or God allowed that to happen in their life. That is true. God oftentimes allows things to happen for His purposes, for whatever the reason. But we need to make sure that we don't forget that sometimes God causes it. Sometimes God Himself says, I'm going to do this to you right now, Mark, to get your attention. I'm going to spank your spiritual bottom. And I'm gonna get your attention, and you're gonna listen to me, because there's no other way I can get your attention. I'm not gonna allow this to happen. I'm doing it.
In today's message, Pastor Mark explains that while God does permit many things for His purposes, there are times when He directly brings hardship, difficulty, or discipline Himself to get your attention when nothing else has been able to. You might hear that God only allows something instead of doing it. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Sometimes God steps in and brings discipline to wake you up. That kind of direct action from God shows His love in a serious way, because He refuses to let you keep drifting without intervention. You can trust that when He causes difficulty, it's always purposeful, aimed at your good and His glory. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 6, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Judges chapter 6. And we're in Judges chapter 6. Going to be looking at verses 1 through 10 today. Looking at confrontation and restoration. Confrontation and restoration. Who likes confrontation? Nobody likes confrontation. I hate being confronted. And quite honestly, I hate confronting. You know, I see some people who seem to enjoy confrontation. I can't associate at all. And sometimes there's good confrontation and there's bad confrontation. The bad confrontation is something I think we all should stay away from, but there's also good confrontation. And what we're going to be seeing today is good confrontation. That is, God is going to confront the children of Israel in their sin to bring them back where they need to be in restoration to Him. And you know what? I believe there's going to be some that God's going to confront here today, to bring you back as well, or to maybe confront you on some area you're veering off on and getting you back where you need to be. I know that I don't like confrontation. I don't like doing confrontation, but I know that God is faithful to do that, and confrontation is needed. It is something that is necessary if we're gonna grow in our walk with the Lord. Why? Because we veer off course. We do things that are wrong, even as believers. And so God in His love comes in and He confronts us, and or He sends someone into our life to confront us. And the key is whether or not we have a heart to hear it. We're going to see the children of Israel today finally have a heart to hear it. Now, where we left off last time, you remember, was the Song of Deborah, and which says Israel had 40 years of rest after Deborah's leadership. And they had victory over Jabin and Sisera, who had placed them under their oppression and control. But just like every other time now, we see this pattern in Judges. When God gave them victory over their enemies, as soon as things got better, they went right back to their sin. Now, how many of us are like that? Maybe you're that type of personality. It's like you walk with God, you know that you know Him, you love Him, and you live your life for Him, and then things get good. You cried out because your life was a mess, right? And then things get good, and what happens? Hey, things are good now, so I'll kind of go back and dabble in that old sin that got me into trouble to begin with. Now, we don't think about it as dabbling in the old sin that got us in trouble to begin with. We just kind of let our guard down and think, you know what? No big deal. I'm going to do this thing. And so we find ourselves in a pickle again, and this is where the children of Israel are. And every time this happens, it leads them back into more oppression and more bondage of their enemies. Sometimes people say, well, why do you study the Old Testament? The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So just because we call it the Old Testament doesn't mean that somehow God doesn't use it or it's outdated. And so everything we study applies to us today. God works in the same way. And again, even as we cry out to the Lord and God hears us, each time the children of Israel would cry out, God would deliver them. But we're going to notice today that before God delivers them, he confronts them. Now, I'm not saying that God didn't confront them the other times, but specifically, the Holy Spirit points out God's confrontation for the nation of Israel. And I think that's a key point for us today, because again, God wants to restore us. And maybe there's some of you today that need God's restoration, but you need to be confronted first. And why is that? Because I think a lot of times we're convicted in the spirit. You know, there's different kinds of personalities. And I find this with my kids. There's different types of children. And as a dad with four children, I see children that respond a different way. And as our Father in heaven sees us as his children, we respond in different ways. Some of you, when you were a kid, and even now as a Christian, all God has to do is hint that you might be in trouble. And you are quickly repenting. There can just be the slightest hint. Hey, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do it. Forgive me, Lord. I will never again, right? Some of you guys are stubborn as mules. And God will try to get your attention and say, hey, what are you doing? Like, oh, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. And you keep going because you make up your mind, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I see the difference in kids. We all know our personality. God loves us all. We're all his kids. And he will deal with us appropriately. And the reason I think God points out the confrontation today is because the children of Israel here, they were being stubborn. They were convicted of their sin. They knew they needed to repent. They are going to cry out to God, but at the same time, they need to be confronted so they can recognize the reason they're in this mess is what they did. They got themselves in this mess, and they need to recognize they got themselves in this mess, because if they don't recognize it, they're going to do it again the next time. And some of us in here, God wants to confront us and say, look, your life's in a mess right now, and here's why. You caused it. God didn't cause it. Your friends didn't cause it. You caused it. And God says, I want you to recognize you caused it, and I want you to recognize what's happening so you can prevent it from happening the next time. And so this is as any good father would do. He confronts them. And again, what is the purpose of confrontation? The purpose of confrontation is always restoration. If we're confronting someone because we want to make our point, that's wrong, unless it's for the good of the kingdom. But if we're confronting someone to restore them to the Lord or to make a stand for righteousness, then we're doing the right thing. And so restoration is always God's heart in confrontation, and that should always be our heart. Charles Spurgeon said this, "The Lord does not permit his children to sin successfully." What a great statement. God doesn't let us sin successfully. If we sin, God catches us and he busts us. And I find out as a pastor, I don't know if it's the same for everyone or not. I tend to think, I know there's a higher accountability for pastors, but I tend to think that I find that for my life, God confronts me fairly rapidly. And I don't know if it's because he knows of my response, the kind of child I am, or the fact that I'm a pastor and I'm held to a higher standard or whatever the case might be, but God confronts me. And I can think of a couple of times in my life. I remember one time in my life, finding myself in a place I didn't need to be. It wasn't that I was looking for trouble, but suddenly there it is. You ever been there? Suddenly you find yourself in a place you're going, uh-oh, I shouldn't be here. And I heard God speak to my heart in a, I'll call it a heart audible voice. It was not an ear audible voice. God didn't speak where I heard him, you know. But have you ever heard that heart audible voice? It's so loud that, I mean, you literally hear the words of what God says. And God said to me, what are you doing here? And I knew at the moment, it interrupted every thought I had. It completely just like, what are you doing here? And it reminded me of when God spoke to Elijah, you know, when he was in the cave and God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he just spoke so clearly to my heart. And I was like, you're right, Lord, what am I doing here? Because God is faithful to confront us when we need to be confronted. And I think that we should be thankful that God confronts us quickly and sometimes very loudly. Where we get into trouble is where God confronts us and we continue on. We don't listen to God's voice. And I'll tell you, when we do that, God is a good father, as any dad would do. God turns up the heat. You know, if you're disciplining your children and they're doing something wrong, you start off gently. Honey, don't do that. If they keep doing it, honey, I said don't do that, and this is going to happen now. Then you do that because that happened. Now, come here, and you're chasing them around the house. I'm just kidding. I know you never do that. But God will turn the heat up on us. He starts out gentle. If he didn't get our attention, he gets a little firmer. And then finally, God will get so firm, where we finally break. And God says, now I've got your attention and now you can be restored. And this is because God loves us and how God deals with us. God does not allow us to simply walk away and never come back. God confronts us and gets us where we need to be. And let me give a warning. If you have grown up in church, even gone to church your whole life, and you've been able to successfully live in sin without any confrontation or any consequences, you need to challenge yourself as to whether or not you even know Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, if you know him and he knows you as a child, he will discipline you. I'm not talking about temporary sin and getting away with it. I've been involved in something where, you know, something will happen where you know you have the wrong attitude or you're in some kind of sin, something's not going right. And God doesn't immediately bring down the hammer. It's like God is gracious. But then there comes a point where you realize, okay, this is enough. It's time to repent. And if that point doesn't come before too long, and it can be longer, I've seen believers go sometimes a couple of years without God's discipline. But at some point, that hand comes in and the discipline takes place. If that doesn't happen and has never happened in your life, I challenge you this to whether or not you're in the faith. And you need to challenge yourself as to whether or not you even know Jesus Christ, because God is faithful to discipline his children. And really, when God disciplines his kids, he typically does it very quickly. We don't always obey quickly, but God will typically confront us quickly and then turn the heat up if we don't respond. Don Shula, the old coach of the Miami Dolphins, said that he was being interviewed about his one of his teams one time and having errors. He said, we never let an error go unchallenged. Uncorrected errors multiply. He said, I found that with my children. He said, when I didn't confront my children right away, it only got worse down the road. And he said, if I could go back as a parent and redo my fathering of my children, he said, I would have confronted them immediately in the things they were doing wrong, because every time I didn't, it turned into something larger. And so again, the same thing is true for the Lord. Uncorrected errors multiply. And so God will correct us. God's going to be correcting some of you. Now, I'm not pointing the finger at you. God's been correcting me this week. Remember, I get it first. God corrects me, then I get to come and encourage you that God wants to correct you. But God is correcting us. And that is, we need to say, God, where am I in my life and my walk with you? And is there something you need to deal with? And now God's going to deal with the children of Israel. Notice chapter 6, verse 1. It says, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Now there's several notable things here in verse 1. Notice again, first of all, it says here, God delivered them into the hand of their enemies, the Midianites, because of their sin. Guys, this is key to note. God didn't allow this. God did it. Now, what is my point in that? I know we all say this, and oftentimes it's true. We'll say, you know what? God allowed that to happen in my life, or God allowed that to happen in their life. That is true. God oftentimes allows things to happen for his purposes, for whatever the reason. But we need to make sure that we don't forget that sometimes God causes it. Sometimes God himself says, I'm going to do this to you right now, Mark, to get your attention. I'm going to spank your spiritual bottom. And I'm going to get your attention, and you're going to listen to me, because there's no other way I can get your attention. I'm not going to allow this to happen. I'm doing it. If you write off the fact that, well, God allowed it, maybe you'll never deal with it. You know, sometimes we have to recognize God may be doing it. And if God's doing it, we need to respond to it. But what do we oftentimes do? Oftentimes we blame God. Oh, God, if you love me, whatever. No, it's because I love you that I did this. You're missing the point. You're not recognizing my hand's doing it, but then you're also, number two, not recognizing that I'm doing it because I love you. And so it's interesting here that God is the one doing it. Secondly, notice he says here that God delivered them over to the enemy. Now, as a believer, you understand as a believer that you can't be possessed. The Bible says that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, he comes to live inside of you and he takes up habitation in your heart. Listen, darkness can never kick out light. It never has. It never will. And when God lives inside of you, it is impossible for a demon to possess you. I know there's a teaching out there that talks about Christians being possessed. That is biblically impossible. When the Lord lives inside of you, the enemy cannot move in and take over. Now, the difference is you can be oppressed. You can't be possessed, but you can be oppressed. And God sometimes allows, even in Christians' lives, the oppression of the enemy. God uses Satan and the demonic realm to chastise his children. And where do we see this? Well, we see it all over Scripture, but I want to give you one here out of 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5. Paul's speaking of an unrepentant Christian in the fellowship. Paul's not talking about an unbeliever. He's addressing a Christian brother who has fallen away in the fellowship there. And listen what he says. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That, and this is key, if you're an underliner or one that circles, that is probably the word to do it on, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What the scripture teaches is this: God allows even oftentimes the enemy to oppress us that we might repent and that we might be restored to the Lord and the things of God. And so oftentimes God allows the world to mess with us, but sometimes God even allows the enemy to mess with us. And I've seen this over the years of ministry where God allows sometimes the enemy to come in and bring great destruction into someone's life. But again, why does God do it? It's to bring repentance and restoration. God does not delight to make our lives difficult. God simply does it because he has to from time to time. But the goal is always restoration when it comes to confrontation. Now, notice here also, it says he delivered them into the hand of the enemy for 7 years. He delivered them in the hand of Midian, it says, for 7 years. I find this interesting because seven is the number of completion in Scripture. And why do I find this interesting? Because here's the bottom line. God will discipline us until it's complete. He will do what it takes. I want to look at this from two angles. Number one, he will discipline us as long as it takes to get our attention and complete what he's trying to do in us. And that means as long as we resist it, that's how long it's going to go. It might be as simple as you saying, I give up. You know what? You win. What am I doing? I'm putting my marriage in danger. I'm putting my walk in danger. I'm blowing everything. I repent. Lord, forgive me of what I'm doing. And you're going to find that that oppression or that hardship or whatever's going on in your life begins to lift. God may be doing that, okay? If you say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to respond. It's going to continue on. God will do it as long as it takes. And oftentimes we're the one that holds the control on that. But there's also the other side of that, and that is once God completes the discipline that's needed in your life in order to get your attention, God releases you. God will never discipline more than needs to be disciplined. You know, it's interesting. We, as earthly parents, can sometimes want to discipline more than's necessary. God doesn't do that. You know, I'm one of those kind of discipline. My kids, they'll do something wrong. I say, okay, for a whole month, you know, And I walk away and, you know, a half a day goes by and I'm going, not even a half a day, something about an hour, a month, that's extreme. You know, okay, we're going to back that off, you know, and then it drops down to maybe, okay, a couple of weeks, it gets down to a week or whatever. And sometimes I've given in even more, but the bottom line is my personality is to overreact at first. And maybe some of you guys have the same kind of personality and then back it off. God never does that. God gives the exact right amount of discipline to break us. And then when we're done with that discipline moment, God relieves us of that discipline and we move on. He doesn't do any more than is necessary. And so here's what he's doing with the children of Israel. And it says in verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, the strongholds, which are in the mountains. Now, this is interesting here. Notice at this point, Israel's enemies were prevailing against them because of this disobedience. And this is true with us. If we're in disobedience, God allows our enemies to prevail against us. And God will allow the demonic realm oftentimes to prevail against us. Now, I'm not talking about salvation wise. Those aren't even issues here. I'm talking about bringing in oppression or making our life difficult, or making things hard. Now, here's a balance we need in this. When things are hard and difficult, does that always mean that we're in disobedience or that it's always the enemy? No, sometimes your life is hard because you are obedient. You're being obedient, and because you're being obedient, you're fighting great opposition from the enemy as well as the world. So just because you're having a hard time does not mean you're in sin. But we know the difference. If we're in sin and we're having a hard time, we probably know why we're having a hard time. But if we're living righteously and having a hard time, we probably know why we're having a hard time. The key is understanding which is going on and then getting it right with God. And so they're under oppression here, but this is interesting to me because, again, whenever we find ourselves not living as we should before the Lord, we come under oppression, but we also find ourselves in hiding. And notice they were hiding in caves, in dens. They're hiding and running. Ever been in a place where you're not where you're supposed to be and you don't want to run into that Christian brother or sister? You know, the one that's always got the great attitude and wants to ask you how you're doing, or whatever the case might be. Maybe you find yourself not going to fellowship very much. You start backing away from going to church because you know you're living in a way that you shouldn't live, and you're afraid somebody's going to find out or you're going to be confronted. Listen, that's the natural response of hiding from God when we're in sin. We tend to pull back. We saw the same thing with Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember Adam? There he is in the garden, and he sins, and God says, Adam, you know, where are you? Now, God knew where Adam was. He was just wanting Adam to confess where he was. And I don't think just physically where he was, but spiritually. Where are you, Adam? And so God recognized him, and God confronted him, and God found him in the trees. Adam was hiding in the trees because he was afraid of the Lord and afraid of God's judgment. Again, we can't hide from the Lord. And if you find yourself in hiding, you're trying to run from maybe somebody finding out what you're doing or hide something. Maybe you're feeling that kind of fear. You're maybe kind of backing off from the things of God, whatever the case might be. God sees you. Don't be afraid. Go to the Lord and get it right. Say, God, I need you to forgive me today. I need you to cleanse me and get my life back where it needs to be. And so, you know, I think you can even be at church and be in hiding. Sometimes some of the best places to hide is church, because when everybody sees you there, they think you're doing well. God sees the truth, and God is the one that calls us on it. And so God says, hey, you know, you need to bring it to me and get it right. And God now confronts them. He's going to confront them in their hiding and bring them to a place of restoration. And notice verse 3. It says, so it was, whenever they had sown, the Midianites would come up, and also the Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. So here's that oppression we were talking about that God allowed, and really God even caused. And then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. Here is another consequence of being under the disciplined hand of God. And that is, God begins to remove our blessings. God begins to allow our produce to disappear, if you will. Now that can be, you know, we can put that in any type of picture that you want, but the bottom line is, instead of walking in a life of blessing, you begin to walk in a life of cursing. You know, you read Deuteronomy 28. What does the Lord say in Deuteronomy 28? He says, if you do these things and walk with me, I will bless you. I'll bless you in your home, in the field, in your work. I'll bless you in everything. He said, but if you do these things which are opposed to me, I'll curse you in your home and your field and in everything you do. Again, not because God hates us and God delights to do that, but because God says, I'm going to get your attention and get you back with me. It's a form of discipline that God does this. And so, and I think another thing we need to be cautious of is that sometimes even when we are being blessed, it doesn't mean we're where we need to be with the Lord. And the enemy will also come, and God will allow the enemy to come and to steal our joy and steal our life. What do I mean? Maybe because you backed off from whatever, maybe you can't go to church as much because of a new raise you're going to get, or you're going to be more involved in things of your work, and you've got a new home and a new car, but you don't really have as much time for God as you used to have. But look, my life is blessed. I'm blessed in all these things. You may be blessed financially, but are you empty on the inside? Where's your relationship with the Lord? You know, God allows the enemy to come and steal that joy. And still that life and that vibrance that was there. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I would rather be broke and have a good relationship with the Lord than be extremely wealthy and be empty. There's the fleshly temptation to think, man, if I've got all these things, I can never be empty. Listen, talk to people who have lots of money and don't know the Lord. You're going to hear emptiness in their heart.
Thanks for being with us today here on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. This radio program is an outpouring of the ministry happening at Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. There are many intriguing stories from the book of Judges, but one of the ones that stands out to me is the story of Gideon. He put out that fleece three times to get a clearer answer or direction from God. God worked with Gideon in this, and he showed up mightily. In fact, God wanted to show what he could do with fewer people so that his ability to come through for his people would be evident. Instead of thousands to fight against their opponent, God had Gideon go up against the enemy with a few hundred men. This is how God works many times, coming in clutch at the last minute and doing things in such an unconventional way that you can only point to God for the answer and the solution. Do you have situations that have occurred in your life where you can claim that it was all God who orchestrated it all? I know I do. And I try to remember those instances so I don't forget God's goodness and His plan in it all. If you'd like to share any of those times or situations that you've experienced, would you give us a call at 865-609-1385? We'd love to hear from our listeners about how God is working in their lives. That number again to call is 865-609-1385. You can also learn more about this ministry by going to thewaymedia.net. Thanks for learning and growing from the Book of Judges here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.